नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 एंड 18। कालेनात्मानुभावेन साम्यं नीतासु शक्तिषु सत्वादिष्वादिपुरुष प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः परावराणां परमा आस्ते कैवल्यसंज्ञितः केवलानुभवानन्द संदोहो निरुपाधिकः। कालेनात्मानुभावेन साम्यं नीतासु शक्तिषु सत्वादिष्वादिपुरुष प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः परावराणां परमो आस्ते कैवल्यसंज्ञितः केवलानुभवानन्द संदोहो निरुपाधिकः। कालेनात्मानुभावेन साम्यं नीतासु शक्तिषु सत्वादिष्वादिपुरुष प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः परावराणां परमा आस्ते कैवल्यसंज्ञितः केवलानुभवानन्द संदोहो निरुपाधिकः। आस्ते कैवल्य संज्ञितः this kalena by the time factor atma anubhavena which is the Lord's own potency samyam to equilibrium nitasu being brought shaktishu the material potencies sattvadishu the mode of goodness etc adi purushah the eternal supreme personality of godhead pradhana purusheshwarah the supreme controller of the neutral state of nature and of the living entities para of the liberated living entities or the demigods avaranam of ordinary conditioned souls paramaha the supreme worshipable object aste exists kaivalya liberated existence samknitaha that which is indicated by the term kevala pure without material tinge anubhava experience of revelation ananda bliss sandoha the totality nirupadhikah devoid of materially designated relationships translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada when the supreme personality of godhead displays his own potency in the form of time and guides his material potencies such as the mode of goodness into a neutral condition of equilibrium he remains as the supreme controller of that neutral state called pradhan as well as of the living entities he is also the supreme worshipable object for all beings including liberated souls demigods and ordinary conditioned souls the lord is eternally free from any material designation and he constitutes the totality of spiritual bliss which one experiences by seeing the lord's spiritual form the lord thus exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation purport one who fixes his mind in the absolute truth the personality of godhead gets immediate relief from the waves of material anxiety because the lord's transcendental form is completely free of any material contamination or designation less intelligent persons accept the illogical doctrine that the lord is transformed into his creation and maintains no separate individual existence they falsely imagine that they can merge their individuality into the universal oneness and become exactly equal to the supreme personality of godhead however in the opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam the personality of godhead is not impersonal but is instead full of transcendental qualities the three modes of material nature constitute his inferior energy and the omnipotent time factor upon which the modes rest is the personal expansion of the lord thus the lord creates maintains and annihilates the material manifestation and yet remains completely apart from it the conditioned souls who desire to exploit the lord's inferior creation are impelled by the personality of godhead to do so and thus they become imitation enjoyers in the temporary world of matter but when one gains practical experience that the gross and subtle material bodies are simply coverings of the eternal soul one gives up the foolishness of material attachment and becomes attached to the supreme personality of godhead he realizes that his constitutional position is neither to enjoy matter nor merge into the lord's existence his real nature is that he is a servant of god service rendered to the lord is eternal full of bliss and knowledge and by the potency of such service one becomes liberated and his activities become glorious. Such service is eternal and gradually promotes one to the platform of kevalanubhavananda sandoha, or merging into the ocean of bliss by seeing the transcendental personal form of the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So, we are continuing the section of Avadhuta Brahman and his 24 gurus. So in today's section, the verse says how it points out many qualities of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he is the controller of the entire material manifestation, including the three modes, including time factor, and how it pervades everywhere, and by meditating on the form of the Lord, the personal transcendental form of the Lord, how we can be free from all material anxiety, and how Krishna is the fullest meaning of the word liberation. How the Lord exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation. All these things are pointed out here. So one point here is how by meditating on the form of the Lord, one can be relieved of all anxieties. So in the Bhagavatam and other literatures, you find descriptions of in great detail about the form of the Lord. In the 10th canto, you find a description of Krishna's form. Lord Brahma describes Krishna's form in the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpataksha Venun Konantam Aravinda Dalaya. So all these details are given to help us meditate on the form of the Lord. Without details, without extra information, we can't meditate on anything. Nor are we encouraged to imagine forms of the Lord. Many people feel all these descriptions about Krishna and his expansions are imaginary, creative products of someone's mind. But such imagination is not only discouraged, but it is condemned. We are encouraged to meditate on authorized descriptions of the Lord. And when we meditate on such forms, then we become relieved of all anxieties, it opens the door of all liberation, and we can attain perfection. So one section in Bhagavatam where the description of Krishna's form is described is in the third canto, where Kardama Muni, after doing his tapasya, he gets the darshan of the Lord. And there he describes, it is said, this is the four-handed Vishnu form. So Kardama Muni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is free from material contamination, in his eternal form, effulgent like the sun, wearing a garland of white lotuses and water lilies. The Lord was clad in spotless yellow silk, and his lotus face was fringed with slick dark locks of curly hair. Then the verse says, next verse, Kiritinam Kundalinam Shankha Chakra Gadadharam Shvetotpala Kridanakam Manasparshas Mitekshanam. Adorned with a crown and earrings, he held his characteristic conch, shankha, disc and mace in three of his hands, and a white lily in the fourth hand. He glanced about in a happy, smiling mood, whose sight captivates the hearts of all devotees. Manas parsha smitekshanam. A golden streak on his chest, the famous Kaustuva gem suspended from his neck. He stood in the air with his lotus feet placed on the shoulders of Garuda. This is the form that Kardama Muni saw. And we have this description, so we also can meditate on this form. And if we meditate on such descriptions, then this verse promises that we can get immediate relief from the waves of material anxiety. So this world is compared to an ocean where there are constant waves tossing up and down. And one who is stuck in this ocean is being tossed up and down with great force without any support. But if the person is situated on a boat, and then he has some shelter. So this world is compared to an ocean where the waves are tossing us. Any material shelter we hold on to will not help. Material solution, material shelter means anything that is temporary, anything that is limited by time, anything that has a beginning and an end. If we take shelter on of these things, then we will continue getting tossed up and down. The Bhagavatam first canto says, second canto, Deha Patya Galatradishu Atma Sainyeshu Asatsvapi. All these shelters are asatsu api. They are false shelters. Our security in our body, our intelligence, our influential contacts, our bank balance, where usually we find shelter, seek shelter and security. The Bhagavatam says all these are temporary false shelters. And if we hold on to them in critical moments, then they may fail to provide shelter, and then we will get frustrated. So therefore we should take shelter on something that is permanent, something that is eternal. So one eternal thing is the form of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the descriptions of the Lord, the words and teachings of Krishna. These are permanent things that never change with time. And these are eternal principles. And the more we hold on to these things, these principles, the more secure our life becomes, the more confident we become, in spite of all the challenges and troubles we may face in life. So such meditation and description is very much recommended. Another point raised here is Kalen Atmanubhavena. So Krishna, here the verse says, the Lord displays His own potency in the form of time, and guides His material potency, such as the mode of goodness. So as soon as creation happens, universal creation happens, then initially it is in a state of neutral equilibrium state. then it is switched into action by the influence of time. And time enters into creation. Or Krishna in the form of time enters into creation. That's when everything gets activated and the system sets into rolling. That means that is the beginning of time, beginning of creation. Everything has a beginning. The universe has a beginning and it has an end. So that's when everything starts rolling. So that time is, Krishna says, that is me. If you remember our old days, there was this Mahabharata serial of B.R. Chopra. At the beginning of the, before the serial began, that song was there. Main samay hu. That circular wheel rotating. So that was a mysterious statement. There is no person standing in front of us. No. Who is the person that says, main samay hu? Simply the wheel is rotating and some mysterious voice is speaking certain philosophical statements. But the identity of the person was never revealed. Some anonymous, some vague person is there up in the sky and he is making some statements. But in the Gita, you find Krishna telling, I am that time. Kalosmi lokakshayakrit pravriddho. So otherwise our understanding of time is we measure time, the passage of time, what the clock reads, that is time. Or in scientific terms they measure time. Certain duration, certain movement of pendulum, or in electronic terms they measure certain atoms vibrating in certain number of vibrations of certain atoms, cesium atoms. Few thousand vibrations is the duration of 1 second. That's how they standardize time. So all these things are there for our calculation. But what exactly is time is never understood. All we know is time is slipping away and the remaining time is slowly reducing. And we all want to utilize time to the best of our abilities, make the best use of time. But what is time? And how to best use it is always a mystery. Chanakya Pandit says, one moment lost can never be regained by paying even millions of gold coins. So we all understand the value of time, especially in modern times. People are running for money. We have money, position, wealth, everything we have. But no time. Prabhupada wrote an article in BTG. No time, the disease of modern man. Early days, this is 1950s, 40s, 50s. So time is precious and we want to utilize time, but unless we understand the philosophical basis of how time works, how Krishna is non-different from time, we will never be able to utilize time properly. So in the Gita, Krishna speaks about time in three places. At least I found three instances where Krishna identifies himself with time. One is the famous verse that I just quoted, Kalosmi lokakshayakrit pravrutto. I am time. This is 11th chapter where Krishna is displaying the universal form to Arjun, and Arjun is able to see how all these warriors on the battlefield are entering into the mouth of the universal form and getting crushed to death. All the Kaurava soldiers, Duryodhan, Dushasan, all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, Karna, everyone is entering, the armies of both sides, even the Pandava side, everyone is entering into the mouth of this universal form, into fire, and the teeth of the universal form is crushing them to death. And Krishna says, except you, five Pandavas, everyone else is going to die in this war. And that time is me. So time, there Krishna is showing how time is the greatest destroyer of everything. Nothing can withstand the onslaught of time. No one can stand against time. Few years here and there, someone may show he is the controller of everything. But time will prove that he is wrong. Whether in a few years, few centuries, or few millennium, or few yugas. But time is going to finish everyone. Another place Krishna says, this is 10th chapter, Kala Kalayatamaham, of subduers, I am time. So everything will be suppressed, subdued over a period of time. And in another place Krishna says, Aham evakshayak kalo, I am the inexhaustible time. Time never loses energy. It's always going to be strong and powerful. Not that with time, time will lose its strength. Time will continue to remain strong all the time. That's how powerful time is. The energy of Krishna is in the form of time. And Krishna says he is the basis of time. And he is beyond time. So one may wonder, when Krishna appears in this world in the form of an incarnation, he is within the boundaries of time. He appeared in this world at a certain time in Kali Yuga, at a certain geographical location on this planet. How is he not under the influence of time when he appears in this world? Although he may appear to be within the world and he may appear to be having a certain time of appearance, a certain time of leaving this world, but still he is unaffected by time. And Krishna condemns those people who think that he is influenced by time. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam. Anyone who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary human being controlled by time, such a person, Krishna says, is foolish. He is unaffected by the laws of material nature. And his appearance and disappearance is like the rising and setting of sun. It is beyond time. So, we see how our body is growing old, our organs are growing weak with age, with time. So many things within our lifespan, we see how time is influencing everything. Methods, languages change, method of communication changes, technology is changing even faster, gadgets keep changing. New people get delighted when new gadgets come, but old people are struggling to catch up with the technology and unable to understand the new features. So in this way, time influences everything. And the more we grow old, the more we feel the pressure of time and to keep up with the pace of time. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, one who is not Krishna conscious, Ayur harati vaipumsam udyannastam chayannasau tasyarte yatkshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. For a materialist who is not Krishna conscious, Ayur harati, with every rising and setting of the sun, his life is stolen away, his wealth is stolen away. And the only exception to this rule is for those who utilize time by discussing the glorious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, everyone is influenced by the rising and setting of the sun. He is losing one day, one precious day from his life. In another place, Krishna says in the 4th chapter, Sakaleneha Mahata Yogo Nashtaparantava. So here we find, physically we grow old, emotionally emotions change, our resolve to maintain our vows sometimes grows weak. So Krishna says even knowledge, imperishable knowledge, spiritual knowledge which was given to us through, which we are getting through parampara, even that knowledge can get affected by time. So imperishable knowledge that can never be destroyed, when that knowledge is not propagated properly, then that is also that also appears to be influenced by time. So one way to maintain knowledge is by maintaining loyalty to the tradition. The members of the parampara have the responsibility of remaining rooted to the tradition. They have to preserve knowledge, they have to transmit knowledge. In this way, they have to be rooted to the tradition. But if their transmission or explanation of knowledge is not relevant to the current times, then it becomes inaccessible to normal people. So one challenge is to remain rooted to the tradition without compromising the principles. And another challenge is to remain relevant, make the knowledge relevant to the current audience. If both these items are missing, then the knowledge becomes inaccessible and the imperishable knowledge appears to be lost. And therefore an incarnation has to come again and again, or Krishna's representatives have to come again and again to revive the knowledge back and make it available to everyone. So our understanding of time is, as soon as there is the influence of time, time reminds us of death. Death is the ultimate force that destroys everything. And when there is time in someone's life, that means it has a beginning, it has an end. And that creates a kind of fear in everyone. How to face that? Most people ignore that fear in the name of being positive. But it's not exactly a positive attitude. It's just blissfully remaining ignorant of the real hard facts of life. So, but as soon as we take to spiritual life, we take shelter of eternal principles, we immediately transcend the fear of death, and all these material disturbances cannot affect us. And the spiritual world is described as a place where there is no influence of time. Time is conspicuous by its absence, it is said. Natat bhasayate suryo nashashanko napavaka. It is a place where there is no need of illumination by sun or moon or electricity, and everything is eternal. Prabhupada writes, when we hear such descriptions about the spiritual world, we must be captivated by that information. One must be excited and thrilled to hear information about spiritual world, how it is eternal, how everything is so adventurous, exciting, and how Krishna is so reciprocative with all his devotees. When we hear such descriptions, our minds should be captivated and should be longing to go there and reach there. So therefore, repeatedly hearing such description is essential. Otherwise, our minds remain stuck in descriptions of this world, in the material world. So in searching for Vedic India, Devamrita Swami describes the cyclic nature of time. He says in the early days, during the church period, few centuries ago, even non-Vedic traditions had his understanding of time being cyclic. Everything rotates. Many people ask this question, what happens? What will happen after Kali Yuga? Is everything going to end? When is everything going to end? But our scriptures explain, after Kali Yuga, another Satya Yuga will start. Just like we have after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again comes. After November, December, January again. It's not that at the end of January, the whole world is going to end and creation is finished. It's all cyclic. Seasons change, months change, weeks change, days change. Within the day, time rotates in cycles. So when we extrapolate this to a greater degree, again time rotates. Yugas change. Brahma's day is a cycle. Brahma's lifetime is a cycle. Everything is cyclic. Just because we are unable to perceive such a big magnitude of time, we think it is all linear. So even in early traditions, Western traditions, the understanding of time being cyclic was prevalent. But it was after a few centuries after Christ, and there was this person named Saint Augustine, who proposed this idea of Time is not cyclic but linear. Linear means everything starts at a time and everything continues, and there is only progress, everything advances. Early everything was primitive, unintelligent people were living in the planet. Gradually everything evolves, more advanced creatures, and then life improves, technology improves, and it's only high, going high until we attain perfection. So this is prevalent even now. Even modern scientists and historians accept this idea as truth. One difficulty they have in accepting time as cyclic is because they feel if we accept the Vedic understanding of time being cyclic, then everything is fatalistic. Time is cyclic means everything is fixed. No, these things, January, February, everything is fixed. Days of the week are fixed. What happens in your life is also fixed. Because everything is fixed. Everything is destiny. So there is no room for progress. There is no opportunity to progress and advance. Whatever is happening in your life by the cyclic nature of time is fixed. So you resign to fate and it's all a sign of hopelessness. So therefore they condemn this understanding of time, saying it's hampering progress. Therefore time must be linear, and we are saying everything is linear, everything is evolving, progressing, and the world is becoming more advanced and happy in their terms. But our scriptures disagree. So although our scriptures tell us that everything is cyclic, that doesn't mean we have no opportunity to advance. Philosophically we can advance, we can understand how everything that happens in the world, history is simply repeating itself. There is a saying, one saying says, news is simply old things happening to new people. That is news. What appears exciting, events, change and all this. It is simply same old things repeating, only the characters have changed. It happens to different people. And that's what we call news. So anything that happens in the material world is same old thing. Same advancement, same technology, same kind of events repeating every periodically. But otherwise there is nothing new about it. So therefore, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, this is Narad Muni's discussion with Vyasadev. He is describing his earlier life, how his mother died by a serpent bite. So there he writes, man's activities in agriculture, mining, farming, industries, gardening, etc. were all on the same scale as they are now. Even previous to the present creation, that is previous Kalpa, previous day of Brahma also, everything was same. And the same activities will remain as they are even in the next creation. After many hundreds of millions of years, one creation is started by the law of nature, and the history of the universe repeats itself practically in the same way. The mundane wranglers waste time with archaeological excavations without searching into the vital necessities of life. So archaeological excavations to prove how our ancient past was so glorious, our future is going to be so glorious. Ultimately everything is some here, ups and downs may be there, but overall it is the same. Nothing exciting about life in the material world. What is exciting is life in the spiritual world, our original home, and that should excite us. Anything so-called exciting thing in this world is ultimately going to end with time, with death. Therefore, our scriptures give fantastic descriptions about the spiritual world, Vrindavan, Dwarka, pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is there stealing butter. This is same thing happening, but it's exciting. Krishna is stealing butter from Gopi's house. Krishna dancing with the Gopis, playing with the coward friends. It's all same, apparently. But it is exciting. Every new day, every new event in the life of the cowherd boys and the gopis is exciting. Mother Yashoda is binding Krishna and Damodar Lila happening, the killing of demons happening. It's all exciting. What is that verse, phrase? Constant excitement is there. And if you see that Govardhan pastime, 7 days they were under the hill, constant raining and thunderbolt is happening from up. But they are just staring at Krishna for 7 days, 7 nights, and they are not getting bored. Same event happening throughout the day, 24 hours a day, and no one is getting bored. Here we stare at one person. How long can we stare at someone? After, especially in today's modern time when we have mobile phones in our hands, even a person who meets us after several months or years, we find it difficult to maintain a conversation more than a few minutes. How are you? What's your name? What's your job? And after the initial formalities, we struggle for words and questions to maintain the conversation. So that's how the spiritual world is beckoning us. We should be eager to go to that place and not have much hope about life in the material world. And today is also the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur, so we will spend a few minutes discussing about him. The Gaur Ganodesh Deepika describes Vrindavan Das Thakur as the Vyasadev in Krishna's pastimes. So it says, Veda Vyasoya Evasi Daso Vrindavanodhuna Sakhaya Kusuma Pida Karyatastam Samavishat. Vedavyas became Vrindavan Das Thakur. Krishna's friend Kusuma Pida also entered into him for some special purposes. So as we know, Vrindavan Das Thakur was the son of Narayani Devi, who happened to be the daughter of Srivas Thakur's brother. Srivas Thakur had three brothers, and she was the daughter of one of the brothers. So at the age of four, Lord Chaitanya met her and ordered her to chant Hare Krishna, chant Krishna's names. And she chanted Krishna's names, she went into ecstasy, she swooned, fainted in ecstasy, and attained pure love of Krishna, just by Lord Chaitanya's glance. And whenever Lord Chaitanya would take food, he would give some remnants to Narayani. So in this way she grew up eating the remnants of Mahaprasad of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So close to Mayapur we have this place called Mamgachi. That's where Vrindavan Das Thakur was born. Their home is still there. We often visit that place. And Narayani Devi, while Vrindavan Das Thakur was in her womb, she lost her husband, she became a widow, and she had to live in great poverty. She was working as a maid servant at the place of Vasudev Datta, and somehow she raised Vrindavan Das Thakur with great difficulty. He went to school, she didn't go to school, she was unschooled, but Vrindavan Das Thakur somehow got education, and Vrindavan Das Thakur took birth 4 years after Lord Chaitanya's sannyas ceremony. And when Lord Chaitanya left this world, Vrindavan Das Thakur was about 20 years old. That's the age gap between the two. And later he took initiation from Nityanand Prabhu. He also attended the Kheturi festival along with Janava Devi. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find Kaviraj Goswami describing great detail about Vrindavan Das Thakur. One interesting thing about all these poets and writers of this age, 15th, 16th century, was they never described about themselves in their writings. They didn't even mention their name several times. Always kept themselves in their background, and but composed exceptional poetry, exceptional prose. So Veda Vyas is Vrindavan Das Thakur. He wrote this Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is earlier called Chaitanya Mangal, later named as Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Kaviraj Goswami says, whoever hears this book, no grave misfortunes will befall. Who reads it knows the glories of Chaitanya and Nitai, and knows what Krishna Bhakti is, and how it is, and why. His book contains the essence of the holy Bhagavatam, and shows what Krishna Bhakti is and what Bhakti is not. An atheist who hears the Thakur's words will soon relent, which means he will soon become a devotee, and join the ranks of saintly men whose souls are heaven sent. In this way he glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we'll stop here. Any comments or questions anyone has? Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.